It's a pleasure to be with the brothers and sisters at Swatara. I greet you in the name of Jesus. I'm a little over anxious this evening. I had thought when Brother David asked me to preach this message that it would be something that I needed and that something that the church needed. And I thought that probably without giving it a lot of thought, it was something that I could say yes to because it would be something that would be needed to address. But as late as yesterday afternoon, another brother completely derailed me and sent me into quite a tailspin. I think the thing that derailed my mind and my heart was the insightful comment that he made about this title and message. And I don't know this evening if I should tell you what that was. But if I don't tell you, then you won't know. It was so disturbing and so shocking to me that it derailed me some. So if I don't tell you, you won't know, but if I do, it might shock you. And I don't know if I want to hurt you like that. But if I don't tell you, then you won't know it. And if there is some truth in what this brother said, then maybe you will be so convicted as I was. Because the words that he gave me were somewhat hard to accept. And I don't know if we can stand them. But let's just read the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 16. Here, because I've been taught that you shouldn't go into a message without reading the Bible. And so I would like to read these words on this subject, Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Jesus reads like this. Jesus preaches like this. He's preaching. And Jesus preached unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man or woman profited if they shall gain the whole world and lose their own soul? Or what shall a woman or man give in exchange for his soul?" So there we have the preaching of Jesus. And Jesus says here, you cannot get into everlasting life and you cannot receive everlasting life without self-denial and cross-bearing and following me. So I cannot preach tonight on the subject that you gave me without including cross-bearing and following Jesus. To do so would be a violation of the preaching of Jesus. See, those three things are inseparable. You kill the one and you've killed the other two, or you miss the one and you've missed the other two. And Jesus says that it is so. So I cannot miss that tonight, although we'll talk about it a little later on. This is the preaching of Jesus. And he says that if a man does not deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, what is self-denial? Okay, I still didn't tell you the shocking truth that upset my peace about giving this sermon. But I don't know what else to do with it, so I'll just give it to you and let you decide. Here it is. I'm modern enough to use messaging apps, and one of my dearest brothers wrote me yesterday afternoon. He said, "Hey, brother, what's your subject tomorrow evening?" And I messaged back, "Self-denial in 23. And now I notice that I didn't have it quite correct, but I don't know if that matters. And he answers back, "Brother, I'm not sure if we have any." Self-denial just means we limit ourselves to one ice cream cone instead of two. And I reply, that certainly indeed would be self-denial, but it would not be cross-bearing. It certainly is self-denial, Brother Vernon, if we could have three, but only take two or one. That would be self-denial, correct? I missed you. Your heads need to be shaking yes or no. Was the brother right? That would be self-denial, correct? But it would not be cross-bearing. We could go home, have an early evening. So there you have it. And you see, what gave me a cold feeling inside was, I get this cold feeling that what you wanted me to do in this subject and what you wanted me to do tonight was somehow define a line between splashing in the water and surfing, or a line in the sand that divided between two cones or three cones, and to teach that on one side of the line is self-denial, but on the other side of the line is not self-denial, and this is righteous, but this is not righteous. And I get this cold, sinking feeling, being the person that I am and being the person that you are and being men and women, that that would be the easiest answer for me to give. And to just check for sure to see if it says it in the book. Nope, it doesn't say it. Doesn't say it in the book. The problem, brothers and sisters, with that is if I had a board here, I do have a board. Where are the pens?
Under the pulpit.
Every church should have a board. And thank God yours does. Now this is very easy, but see, that's like, and rules are all this way. Make a rule. And if that is our heart, if that is our legalistic heart, brothers and sisters, then I should just go home. Because the problem with that is we sort of assign legalism to conservatism, but that's not true. Legalism is a problem of the human heart. And liberal or conservative, whatever you want to do with it, legalism is a human problem, not just for conservatives. Legalism is a human sin problem. So if you have a rule, what legalism does, it finds another place in between those two. So now it puts another one there. And then legalism finds another one. And another one, and another one. And every time there's one made, I can find another one in between. No rules. And I get this feeling that maybe what you wanted me to do was make a definition of self-denial, and I can't do it. But I'm going to toward the end, because I believe that we should. So what is self-denial? Number one, It is the same things that Jesus meant in A.D. 30. It's the same thing that Jesus meant in A.D. 30. And I must clarify that because otherwise I'll need to come back in 24 and 25 and 26 and 27 for the same subject. And in between, the cultural arguments that we sometimes find ourselves in will make the answers even more changing and more difficult in 2025 than it is yet in 2023. I'm getting a bit anxious, brothers, about our discussions, how much cultural changes affect our decisions. I agree that they do. Cultural views and changes certainly do and should affect us in some way. But I'm willing to submit that I'm a little concerned and anxious that we are in danger of overemphasis as it concerns practical answers such as self-denial. Self-denial in 2023 is the same answer as it was in AD 30. Let's not get that confused. And Jesus' answers are easier than we attend to allow and make them. So here's the point. I understand we need titles for our subjects, and so I'm not criticizing that. But self-denial in 2023 is no different than self-denial in 1863 or AD 63. Number two, self-denial can be both carnal exercise or a spiritual exercise. I already touched on that. Two cones when I could do three is indeed self-discipline. If I could afford or had the option to take three cones and I only took two, I denied myself of one. That is self-denial. If I could afford two farms, but I decided for whatever reasons to limit myself to one farm, or if I could afford three and I limited myself to two, that is self-denial. If I chose to invest and buy a Lexus when I could afford a Model X, that is indeed an action of self-denial. Yes. If I bought a Tundra when I really wanted a Duramax, for whatever reason, that is indeed self-denial. If I forego going to a green and instead chose an alley, that could be self-denial. If I chose the alley instead of the greens, self-denial. Paul illustrates this in the Bible when he says things, when he talks about things such as the Olympic athlete. When he says, don't you know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receive the prize? So run that you may obtain. Every athlete, he says, exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we do it to receive an everlasting, imperishable wreath. And so he identifies the difference between cross-bearing, that is simply cross-bearing. So there are things that people do for whatever reason to receive something, and they deny themselves of that. That's self-denial, but there's no cross-bearing in it. It has no everlasting reward. And that's a pretty important point. Because if all I'm to speak about tonight is self-denial in 2023, then we have no good reason to be here, spiritual brothers. See, self-denial can be carnal. Yes. It can even be religious asceticism. And we all are prone to this. We all have this in our bones, in our nature. You know, so religious asceticism, it goes something like this. You know, we make the rule about this, and you make this rule, and so after a while, you know, the white shirt and the black pants are that can be flashy too, so we dump it down. We're all Dickie jeans, work pants, but that could be pride in that too. So, you know, after a while we don't have any clothes on at all, because we can keep pressing that down. After a while we're deciding how we're going to do our toenails. See, religious asceticism, there's no end to that. It's carnal. It's self-denial, but it's not cross-bearing. It's very deceptive. But Paul says, sure, people deny themselves of things because they want something, but it's not cross-bearing. Number three, self-denial, less cross-bearing, and following Jesus have no everlasting value. Already touched on that. It's vain. That kind of self-denial is vain for the next world. And Paul writes about the resurrection, if that's all it was, you'd be the most miserable man in the world. And of course, there are miserable people in the world. And Jesus preaches here, what if a man did exercise self-denial? And what if a man did exercise what it took to gain the whole world, but lost his soul? What would it be worth? That's what Jesus preaches. And so I'll just lay down my anxious thoughts of distrust and believe that we really want to be taught about self-denial tonight, the kind that has a cross that goes with it, and the kind that follows after Jesus, goes where he goes, acts like he acted, does what he did, took up his cross. And he says, if you don't take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be mine. So self-denial, less cross-bearing, and following Jesus have no lasting value. Number four, self-denial that bears a cross and follows the steps of Jesus is not the things that happen to everyone. Sometimes we get this confused. We have this trial. We have this burden we're bearing. We have this thing that's happening to us. Well, sickness and death and fire and damage and wrecks and all the things, they happen to everyone. They happen to everyone. That's not self-denial. That's not cross-bearing. Those things happen to everyone. Rather, self-denial that bears a cross that Jesus spoke of and preached, and the following the steps of Jesus, is not the things that happen to everyone. Rather, it is voluntary refusal or surrender of that which is either wrong in itself or those things that are right in themselves but are voluntarily given up or surrendered for that which moves one towards eternal life. Dictionary of Bible Themes says this: the voluntary willingness to deny possessions or status or pleasures or comforts of life in order to grow in holiness and commitment to God. In other words, those things that cause you to get closer to God. Giving up this so that I can have this, so that my commitment and my holiness increases. That is self-denial with cross-bearing. Willingness to sacrifice and forgo time, energy, rights, position, reputation, yes, even your own life for Jesus' sake is what exemplifies and what it means to deny self and take up the cross and follow Jesus. For he that taketh not up his cross and followeth not after me is not worthy of me. He that finds his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. And verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and die, it just stays in the bag. A corn of wheat or a grain will just stay in the bag until it is planted and dies, and then it brings forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servants be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Paul, but in all things approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in the necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fasting, by pureness, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor. See, these questions about self-denial in 2023 began as early as AD 30. And self-denial in 2023 with everlasting values is far more than two cones when we could have had three cones. Number five, overcoming and choosing self-denial that bears the cross and follows Jesus through the indwelling Holy Spirit. It takes the insistent and persistent fleshly demands of the eyes, the ears, the hands, and the feet, and the feelings and the emotions. The call for the flesh to respond. The indwelling Holy Spirit changes that. Over here is the things that I want to do, my flesh wants to do. The Holy Spirit then says, no, but here are the things that will call you and drive you and move you closer and closer to the holiness of God. And Paul outlines his example of this in Philippians, he outlines Jesus' example of this in Philippians chapter 3, where he says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And God has also, therefore, highly exalted him. And Paul outlines Jesus' example in self-denial. So for any Holy Spirit-actuated Christian, renouncing self and following Jesus and God and Jesus' desires must be inseparable with his self-denying decisions. Remember number four? The fourth question, the night you were baptized, remember what the fourth question was? The fourth question goes like this. Are you truly sorry for all your past sins, and are you willing to renounce Satan, the world, all the works of darkness, and your own carnal will and sinful desires? Remember that question? What do you think that means? What do you think God thinks it means? What do you think your neighbor thinks it means? Okay, your neighbor wasn't here. They didn't hear you say it. And then over in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God to bring salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we shall live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Does denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, is that what we're talking about tonight? Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. I do believe that Darwin and David and Brendan and Ara should make some rules. That's not the point of this illustration. They should be rebuking and making some guidelines about self-denial. So I do believe in it. That's not the point of this illustration. He says here about denying ungodliness and worldly lust that your preachers are responsible to help you on that. Yes. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live for the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And we can go to Romans chapter 6, where it talks about our bodies being instruments of righteousness and not unrighteousness. We won't for the sake of time, but what do these mean? Can we know the answers to these questions? And I'm saying, yes, we can know. And so the Holy Spirit will live in us, a man who chooses to allow it and allows God to sanctify his life and walk in repentance and lets God sanctify his life. God and the Holy Spirit and your leaders will definitely have something to say about self-denial in 2023. So I've taken all that time to make 5 points about self-denial, but I cannot leave self-denial stand on its own tonight. We must also think about cross-bearing. And I'm going to pivot now. I'm going to pivot and come back later. I'm going to pivot to a man in the days of the cross of Jesus to give us some answers about self-denial in 2023. Because Jesus put self-denial and cross-bearing as an inseparable aspect of everlasting life. And it's a cross thing. Self-denial, this is my sixth point, and I'm pivoting into another story here to make the point. Cross-bearing and following Jesus is an inseparable aspect of self-denial to make self-denial an everlasting thing. Otherwise, it's just a human thing. That's the point I'm making. It's a cross thing, and we love crosses. We really do love crosses. We like to put them on our church signs. We like them on our websites. In some churches of the PMC, they have them behind the pulpit. I was in one of our PMC churches a couple of weeks ago, and I'm just stating facts. I'm not criticizing or commending either one. I'm just stating the facts. There was a cross back there, and we were having communion, and I noticed that they turned on the lights behind it. It was pretty to have a cross there behind the pulpit and to have the lights on, and so they did. We like crosses. That's my point I'm making. We like crosses. We like them inferred in our meeting houses like this one right here. And I know that maybe you never thought of that, but I see it every time. I'm not even criticizing. I'm talking about that. Right here is inferred the three crosses, one in the middle with Jesus. Now, I said that in another one of the PNC congregations. They said, oh, you're just seeing stuff that's not there. Well, I don't know the answer, but here it is. We like crosses. We like crosses because they stand for forgiveness. They are redemption. Without the cross of Jesus Christ, there is no forgiveness of sins. There is no redemption. There is no everlasting life without the cross of Jesus. We love it. It's not even wrong. It might be, but it's not necessarily. We love the cross. We should love the cross. People hang them around their necks. We like them on our Bible cases. People, like I said, put lights behind them. They put them on the fronts of churches, on the outsides of churches. They put them on their license plates. They decorate them everywhere because out of the cross emanates forgiveness and redemption. But you see, Jesus said, unless you accept that cross, you cannot be my disciple. Unless you deny yourself and also have a cross. What's a cross? It was what you went to die on. Yes. You couldn't take anything along. The Romans stripped you naked and hung you up there and made a fool out of you. You went up there empty. You went up there with nothing. You didn't even get to choose whether you were going to deny something. They chose for you. They chose for you. They hung you up there and made a fool out of you. And that's what happened to Jesus, even the shameful cross. Who wants a Jesus like that? See, we like the redemption cross, but we pause when we have to get on it. Do you? I do. We relish the cross, except getting on it. But Jesus said, unless you take one, you can't have everlasting life. Because, of course, Jesus is resurrected. But it has to do with redemption. There hangs Jesus, bloody, broken, and crucified. He was the loser. He was the shamed one. He wasn't the cool one. He was the shamed one. But he denied himself, being God of heaven, and allowed himself to be hung there. And Jesus ties self-denial and cross-bearing and following him in an inseparable package. And those who are not willing to do that cannot inherit eternal life. Paul says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I get the scriptural understanding that Paul was a beat up man. There were visible marks in his body. Why? Because he decided to deny himself and take up the cross and follow Jesus. He was all beat up. He had scars. He said, let no man trouble me, because that is what I've decided to do. Now, about a week before that happened, people were flocking around Jesus. He was popular. Emotions were charged. He was electrified. Men were jostling to see who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And Jesus just looked at his men and said, Are you going to follow me and bear the marks and the shame and get on a cross like I'm going to? Yep, we're going to do it. He asked them three times. Yep, we can do it. We'll do it, Lord. We're with you. Going all the way. Yes, sir. Jesus said, really? Yes. So Jesus was on the way to that happening. And there along the side of the road sits a blind man. He's begging, Son of David! Son of David! Son of David! Please! Come help me, Son of David! Please! Please, Jesus! Won't you come and help me? And sure enough, the Son of David went to the side of the road and said, sure. And the man jumps up from the side of the road. His name is Bartimaeus. And he threw off his jacket. He threw off his blind robe, which identified him as a blind man in his faith. He didn't need that anymore, and he went to Jesus, and Jesus gave him his sight. It's a beautiful story. Have you seen the light of day? Has Jesus given you your sight? Now, In the home congregation, we practice brotherhood. And the ministry of which I work with, they will no longer have phone call meetings. That's not good enough. They don't like that. We have to sit face to face, and I appreciate that a lot. So at least once a month, and sometimes oftener than that, we have a little meeting in the morning, about 6 o'clock, at our favorite restaurant, and we sit down and we have a little ministers meeting. And we practice brotherhood in a couple different ways. And one way we do it is that each brother takes a turn to have a little devotional time to open the meeting and prayer. And secondly, the same brother that does that pays for the meal. So we practice brotherhood two ways. One is we get together to have devotions and prayer together. And second is we pay for each other's meal, and we take that around and around. And after, you know, each one of us get a turn. That's brotherhood. Well, one morning, I was telling this story in the Bible about Bartimaeus, and I was lamenting the fact that I said, you know, there's just so many Bible stories that it just really doesn't give you the ending. And the old brother sat there at me and he said, Edwin, don't you know what it says? Well, no. He said, and it says, and he followed Jesus. You had the end of the story. He followed Jesus. Well, of course he followed Jesus. He had received healing, you see. What else would he do? But Jesus, where was Jesus going? Harold, David, someone answer me. Where was Jesus headed? He was going to the cross. Now, if you were blind Bartimaeus, one thing of your life that you would have wanted to be part of was the great feast over, the Passover feast over in Jerusalem. You would have certainly wanted to be part of that. And now here, he finally got his sight, and finally Bartimaeus could see, and finally Bartimaeus was going to get to go to Jerusalem and get to be in the great Jewish Passover feast. But the problem is, the tide changed, the political winds changed, and a judge that sat on the seat condemned the man that gave him his sight to the cross. And now you had to choose. Was blind Bartimaeus going to go to Jerusalem to the great Passover feast, or was he going to go outside the city and deny himself and go outside the city to the cross of Jesus Christ? Which was he going to do? And that is the answer to your question. Which is it? Which will you choose? Will you go there or will you go there? Will you deny yourself for holiness or will you go back to Jerusalem?
One would give Bartimaeus a life of joy and all the shame could be avoided and he could fit in with the world and it would be easy. And the other would allow him to get to see the real Passover, the only one. But he was going to also have to carry a cross and get marks in his body. He wasn't going to be able to hide in the crowd. He was a Jesus freak. And everyone would know it. Which? He had to decide. And that's what you have to decide. Because the cross bearing is the lens through which we get proper view for decisions in this knowing self. See, I have these things here. These are lenses. Some of you have them. Some of you are too proud to wear them, so you have some other kind of thing in there called contacts or whatever. Not proud. But you have lenses. And if you don't have them, you still have lenses but these are lenses. Now, I'm going to tell you that I can see 2020 out there without these on. But if I tried to read my Bible without these, I wouldn't get it right. I wouldn't get it read right. And here's the point. All self-denial decisions must be made through the lens of cross-bearing. That's the point I'm making. And you, like Bartimaeus, if you have received your sight from the Son of David because you begged him and he gave it to you and you were baptized and you agreed to renounce the sinful world and all its carnal desires and your own sinful desires,
desires, then you too are like Bartimaeus. You have to decide whether you're going, which Jerusalem you're going to go to. Are you going outside the camp and identify a Jesus freak with Jesus and bear a cross, and maybe you will get some marks and be identified that way, or else you can go to the other Jerusalem and just live your thing.
And cross-bearing and the cross of Jesus Christ is always the lens and the guide and the anchor and the measuring stick for all the decisions that you must make about denying self in 2023 and 2025. And cross-bearing is the judge of our self-denial decisions. Were they carnal, or were they to move us toward godliness? And each of us judged by the cross. See, if I desire a thing that opposes the cross of Jesus, then I must deny it, because choosing it will deny me of everlasting life. That was a word salad. If the decision that you must make opposes or is in opposition and conflict with the cross bearing of Jesus Christ, then you must deny it, or you will lose and you cannot have eternal life. If it does not move you closer to Jesus, if it moves you further from Jesus, then you must deny it. Now, young folks, I love you, but I've done a little bit of testing, because there's an argument that I hear. It goes like this: well, what's wrong with it? I don't know. I don't even want to know. The question is, does it move you toward the holiness of God?